That's Zion. And that talks all about Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is a very complex concept in the context of Bitochon, because we talk about Bitochon as the ability to achieve and to change and to accomplish, and everything can feed the level of Bitochon that he has. So where does this Hishtadlus fit in? You know, there's such a thing as Hishtadlus. We discussed that on the highest level, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he didn't have to do any Hishtadlus. Rabbi Shmuel said, you do have to do Hishtadlus. Most of us would find ourselves on the level where you do have to do Hishtadlus, not on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's level, where we could just sit and, you know, sit and learn and everything will be provided miraculously. But the relationship between the two and the amount and all this is a lot of very confusing things. And it's halachas because what should I do? How much do I have to do? It's the beginning of a complicated sugya, which, I don't know, b'siyata d'shmaya, maybe we'll get a little bit insight into. It is very complex. So he starts off like this. Lo rak she'ishtadlus eina mo'ilo. That he takes for granted. Shtadlus doesn't do anything. Lefomim tigra mehepech. Sometimes it can cause the opposite. That's the title that was given to this little keta by the Mesader. Loi rak shehishtadlus eino mo'ilo. Says it's not enough that hishtadlus doesn't help. And that's a very strong statement. Hishtadlus does not help. Okay, so let's all quit our jobs and quit our work and let's not do anything. So
opposite of what we said last week.
What's that?
Last week we said Shtadlus you need to do.
No, you need to do. No, he just said, well, so let's, you're right, but let's go. Hishtadlus doesn't help. That doesn't mean you don't have to do it. That's where the complexity begins. Okay, very good. Elo lif'omim tigre ma'hepich. Sometimes the Hishtadlus we do could do just the opposite, could make trouble for us. V'chol odom roye b'chush. Everybody sees mamish b'chush, sees it in reality. Asher kama pe'omim. Many times it happens to us. Loidai shehishtadlusoy loitoyeloy ma'uma. It's not enough that all the efforts that he puts in doesn't seem to do anything to help him. That's not enough. Oid otoyeloy ma'uma rak adaraba. To the contrary. Oid hoyoloy lero'o. V'nimsa hora, v'nimsa hero le'atzmoy. Sometimes it's to the contrary. It does damage. I do Hishtadlus and I make it worse. And I put in the effort, and all the effort that I make just makes me trouble. So we know there are such things in life. Everybody has such experiences. Sometimes I do Hishtadlus and things seem to work out. Sometimes I do Hishtadlus and there seems to be no relationship between the Hishtadlus and things work out. And sometimes I find the Hishtadlus makes me trouble. You know, you push the wrong buttons, you make the wrong contacts, you go into the wrong deals, and you end up, in trouble. So, Hishtadlus is a very iffy type of a thing. Uchemaimer HaKosev, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, Beitzei Tzifoini Biku Vekurei Akabish Yarogu, says, the eggs of Tzifoini is some type of a poisonous snake. And a person takes these eggs and he thinks he's gonna have something from it, but ho'oichel bebeitzeihem, one who eats from these eggs, yomus. And if he seeds it and then he opens it up and he thinks he's gonna have a chicken, is gonna come out another poisonous animal. So very often something that looks innocent, that looks appropriate, that looks a normal form of Hishtadlus, will turn out to be the worst thing in the world. Dima Hishtadlusom, the Novi Yeshaya compares the Hishtadlus of these people. He's not speaking about big tzaddikim over there in that perek. He's speaking about people that are not exactly behaving the way they should. But anyway, their Hishtadlus he compares Lema Asif Beit Simulum Acholoi. He gathers eggs to eat. Or he warms them. He thinks he's nurturing the tanagoilim, that he's going to have chickens to eat. And after all the efforts that he put in, nimtzu habeitzim shohoyu shel nochosh ve 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 efer V'yotzo mehem nochash lazikoi. And it turns out this was snake eggs. And all after all of his effort, he created a poisonous snake to damage him. So effort isn't necessarily, that's the way the Novi puts it, effort, sometimes we can put in a lot of effort, but really that is not what do it. Sometimes the effort can help, sometimes the effort can even hurt, and so we have to be very cautious with effort. It brings another pasuk, v'chein omer ha-kosuv, lo yicheid chachomim be'ormam, that Hashem sometimes traps the wise people with the tricks that they perform. What does it mean? Hischak musam shalahem, boy ba'atzma lo yicheid oisam. Sometimes with their wisdom, they think they're so smart. They think they're so cunning. They think they're so, they're manipulative, and they're doing things, and they really think. And with all that wisdom, it's all part of a vehicle to trap them and to make things worse. And he brings a raya. Uchemaise the avdei shloima mevor mesecha suka perak acholil shenigzar aleihem shiamusu al sharei luz. Shlomo HaMelech sent these avodim. He heard that before he met the Malach HaMoves. Shlomo HaMelech knew how to talk to everybody, including the Malach HaMoves. That's something that we don't know how to do that. And the Malach HaMoves said he has a contract on these two guys, these two avodim, but he wasn't able to get them. So Shlomo says, oh, he has a contract for them. He's sending them far away. He sent them to the gates of Luz, and then the Malach HaMoves killed them. So he meets the Malach HaMoves again, and he says, how you talking? What happened? He says, everybody has a time and a place where he's vulnerable to the Malach HaMoves. This was the place where they were vulnerable to the Malach HaMoves, and Mimela, by sending Shlomo HaMelech, the greatest Chochom, who had the greatest Chochom, and he even spoke to the Malach HaMoves, and he knew that he had to protect these guys from the Malach HaMoves, and the very protection that he conceived in order to protect them, turned out to be their downfall. So if Shlomo HaMelech can make the wrong decisions with the information or with the inside contacts that he has and the capabilities, so we see it for us that hishtadlus sometimes can be good and sometimes can be a terrible cause of terrible tzoras. Let's continue.
What proper hishtadlus that he did?
You know, he's not judging here whether it was proper hishtadlus or not. The point, the real point, the underlying, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the real underlying point is Hashem's will be done. That's the real point. In other words, you could do ishtadlus all you want. If Hashem wants it, it'll be. And Hashem doesn't want it, there's nothing you could do to make it happen. It's all up to Him. So we have to put ishtadlus in perspective. Yes, there is an inyan of ishtadlus, but don't think that the ishtadlus is what's doing it, because the ishtadlus could be doing good, could be the agent, the shliach of good, could be the shliach of bad, and really everything really depends upon what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. So now he goes on, just one more, it's a very short little thing here, but let's finish it and then we'll see. V'chein b'nyoni harafua. Harei todir mamish royim shaharoifei toya betuv hamachla. So often we see that a doctor makes mistakes in diagnosing the machla. V'lo dai she'enu misakein bepulo isof, rak adaraba mekalkel oid. Not only does the doctor sometimes not only not help through the actions that he prescribes, but sometimes it makes things worse. We all know, we've all heard of situations like that, Rachmana Litzlan, where terrible things sometimes happen by misdiagnosis and by things that were inappropriately handled by a doctor. So the upshot of this whole keta over here, this piece over here, seems to be that, yes, there is an inyan of hishtadlus, but if you're relying on the hishtadlus to accomplish, then he's not just telling us that hishtadlus can't accomplish. It's all from Hashem. He doesn't say that. He says more than that. He says you can't rely on hishtadlus because hishtadlus could just as well be the agent to do us in as it could be to help us out. That's what it says, right? Shlem HaMelech. He did an ishtadlus to save these guys' lives. And punkt. He sent them to the one place in the world where they were vulnerable to the Malach HaMavis. So, Memele, he's telling us, he's coming from a different perspective. He says, hey, take it easy with the ishtadlus. Ishtadlus is overrated. Not only loy rak shishtadlus tzeinu moyel, he says, the chiddush is not just ishtadlus doesn't help. That we learned. That we know. You have to do it. We have to understand why. But we know it doesn't do it. But not only that, don't rely on this ishtadlus. Thank you. Because not only does it not necessarily do the good that we wanted to do, very often the very ishtadlus that we do, I'm collecting these eggs, I'm warming them up, I think I'm going to have a lot of chickens for Yontif, and in reality I have poisonous snakes that are going to destroy me. Shlema HaMelech, he found out from the Malach HaMavis that he has a contract on these guys, so he figures, I'm going to save them, I'm going to send them far away. Boom, the one place in the world. Because Hashem wanted it. The time came. When Hashem wants it, that's what happens. I want to share with you a painful personal story. But I must admit that for the last hour, I'm debating whether or not I wanted to share this story. But I felt that the benefit is so powerful that I decided that I want to share it with you. You know, and in a certain way also, it's the whole Indian of Rafua today has become very relevant because a lot of people are agonizing with the vaccine and the boosters and things like this, you know, the alleged science and what doctors say and what Rabbonim say and what nobody knows. And so it's a very complicated world. We do know that the Torah tells us in the Pasuk V'rapo Yerape that Mikan Shenitin Rishus L'Roife L'Rapois. Now, that could be easily misunderstood as a doctor has permission to heal. Are there any doctors here in our group today? Okay, I mean, no, I'm not going to say anything offensive, but just want to know. So, a doctor has permission to heal, but that's not really what it means because he doesn't have permission to heal necessarily because of the fact that Hashem is the healer. In fact, we say it every day, three times a day, Baruch Ato Hashem, Roife Choile Amo Yisrael. And if we take medication, we say it even more because the Mishnah Berurah brings that a person who takes medication or some type of a refuah that you're doing should first see Yerosin, Shehei Eisek Zel Refuah, Ki Roife Chinamoto. And when you finish, you should say Baruch Roifei Choylim. So the halacha wants us to remember constantly that Hashem is the Roifei Choylim. So what does it mean, Mikan Shenitin Rishus L'Roifei L'Rapois? The doctor is given permission to administer healing procedures. He's given the permission to write a prescription for a medication. He's given prescription to do an operation to set a bone or to correct any whatever may be internally or externally that has to be dealt with. He's given permission to administer the process which Al Piteva seems to do the healing, but he's not given permission to heal because he can't heal. That's a very important thing to keep in mind. But yet he does have permission to administer or even to recommend or to prescribe that which can be the proper hishtadlus in the inyani refuah. When it comes to the situation that we have today, so many I know the some of the great poskim in Yerushalayim, when they're asked about the vaccination and so forth, and they say, you know, I mean, I know Rabbi Israel Orbach was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim. He tells people, he says, ask your doctor. And your doctor is Mikan Shenitin Rishus L'Roifei L'Rapois. He's given permission to administer the healing. He said, interestingly, and if you're not so confident in your doctor, ask a second opinion, you know. But that's basically, we have nothing else to go on. But again, he's not healing and he's not hurting. He's not doing anything. Because we are just following the halachic permission that's given to him. And if you're wondering why can the, what does it mean he's given reshus the roi for the rapalis? Because the pashtus is that a doctor shouldn't be allowed to administer healing. If Hashem makes a person sick, who do you think you are to fight with the divine directive? There's a divine directive that this person should be hurt. And you're going to come along and say, no, I'm going to change. The Torah says the Torah gave a reshus to a roife the rapis. Now this may only be to a roife mumche. There's questions in halacha.
You don't need reshus to do chesed.
What?
You don't need reshus to do chesed. An old lady falls down. You need, so that's the
well,
divine.
No, but that, okay, all right. But this is more. This is something happened to the person. This is a person fell, so you have to pick her up. Yeah, but maybe. Good kasha. I'm not sure I know the answer. This is more internal. This is something. If Hashem gave a machla,
you're going to decide what to do.
Something like that. It's a good point. But Lemaisa, this is a, you have a machla. You're going to get. I'm going to decide. This is what's going to. But no, the Torah says yes. You have that right. And the question of listening, by the way, in the halachas for him, it really talks about if you're on a high level of. The highest level of bitochen, just like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't work, you shouldn't go to the doctor either. We're not on that level, so we have to go. And the doctor has the reshus to administer what he has to administer. Now, what about the doctors who tell us, there's nothing that can be done. There's no hope. And we've heard that many, many times. So the way I look at it is a doctor was given reshus l'rapois. When it comes to saying who can't be healed, he's a layman just like you and me. The Torah never gave him that. His doctor, his MD that he earned, it only gives him reshus to administer healing. It does not give him reshus to say who's going to live and who's going to die. But to me, the chiddush, and that's what I wanted to share with you, this personal thing, after that whole discussion, which I probably wanted to avoid it because I'm still debating inside whether I want to share it or not, but the opposite is true also. He's not given reshus to say who will be healed. His opinion about prognosis, bein letav, bein lemutov, is beyond the scope of his professional status. It's beyond the scope of his professional training, that we know. But it's even beyond the scope of his halachic status as one who has the right to administer healing. And this is bididi havi uvda. My wife was stricken with an illness five, six years ago. And she went for treatments for about 6 months. And one day, the doctor informs us that the treatments were successful. And the machla is cured. As some people here know, 10 days later, she passed away. Like, here, the doctor said everything was fine. You're weak, you have to recuperate from all the treatments. But I remember I'm standing just like 5 years ago, plus whatever, around here. And I'm standing, Baruch Hashem, she's okay, cancer-free. The treatment was successful. And the problem is, not only was he unauthorized to make that statement, I mean, he was authorized to say, hey, Adkan, I don't have to give any more treatments. But the word prognosis is out of the realm of his expertise. But what happened was, and I believe that what happens is when we hear that, there's a danger. Because the danger is, okay, let up a little bit with the tefillah, let up a little bit with the bitochin. And in reality, that's the way that the Malach HaMovis gets to do his job. Because if a person would maintain the greatest level of bitochin, then unless, nobody can live forever. That's part of the universal klola of Misa that was decreed on Adam HaRishon because of the Chet with the Eitz Hadas. So, like, I think is when the George Bernard Shaw, they quote, said, you can't live forever, so don't try, something like that. So, you know, nobody's going to live forever. But in terms of an untimely demise, the Koyach HaBitochon is great. But what happens is sometimes, if, in fact, the Malach HaMovis wants to do his job, so he, what we say, fashters the bitochon. He gets this doctor to say, oh, everything is fine. We let up a little bit in that focus. And then he does his. Now, the emesis, that's what was supposed to be. We have no doubt about that. That was the gzera, that was there was supposed to be. We're mekabel, we have to be mekabelit, and we can't have any tainus, of course. Obalemaisa, it's interesting to note that we really can't give any credence to the medical profession or to any other knowledgeable people with any wisdom, even like Shlema HaMelech, other than the fact that Hashem is in control of everything. And we have to maintain our vigilance, we have to maintain our tefillah, we have to maintain our bitochon, because everything, whether it sounds bad or whether it sounds good, is really all just a direction that we're being led in order to accomplish that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to accomplish. And I think that's a very, very big nisoyon in life, because there's so much teva that we live with that it's so hard to imagine that it's all irrelevant. All the ishtadlus, this is I think why he goes to the drama to say not just ishtadlus doesn't accomplish anything, but he goes out to point, he brings psukim and a moshul to explain how the ishtadlus can do bad, so that we should get the message, forget the ishtadlus. No, I don't mean don't do the ishtadlus, but don't be so hung up on the ishtadlus. It's not the ishtadlus that's doing anything for you. In fact, the dramatic presentation is that the ishtadlus could be the very thing, the best ishtadlus, which was the most logical, which came from inside information for the Malach HaMovis, to know that I got to get these guys out of town and send them to Luz because their life is in danger. And boom, if that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants, then the ishtadlus has nothing to do with anything. Then this becomes an agent, which after everything is said and done, we have to realize one thing. We have to really constantly, always be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, ishtadlus, we have to do ishtadlus. And we have to learn halacha to figure out how much ishtadlus we have to do. And that's really, I don't think we have time. I brought, it's if anyone wants to look, I think we should go into it next time. The Mishnah at the end of Asar Yuchsin, of Kiddushin, where it talks about that a person should teach his son Umnes Kalo Nekiah, and don't worry about Kalo Nekiah isn't a very lucrative profession. And what should he do? And daven to the one who is the one who provides all wealth and all property and all everything. She'ein ha'umnes she'ein ba'aniyas v'ashirus. You know why? Because there's no umnes. There's no profession, there's no business, there's no trade that doesn't have richness and poor, has both. Shelo aniyas min ha'umnes, v'lo ashiras min ha'umnes, ela hakol lefi schusay. Everything depends on his schus. So I think it's a very important lesson to internalize, and it's a mindset. Everything is the Rabbeinu Shalom. And in a sense, when I do ishtadlus, what I'm really doing is I'm going through the motions. There's a mitzvah. Putting on tefillin is a mitzvah. Sitting in sukkah is a mitzvah. Eating matzah is a mitzvah. And so is ishtadlus. Because on my level, I'm not on the level of Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai, and I'm obligated to live in the world of teva. I'm not supposed to rely on miracles. I'm also not, if I'll sit around doing nothing all day, the Chavis Al-Bobis says, who knows what we'll end up doing. Therefore, Hashem wants us to do ishtadlus, if nothing better than just to keep us out of trouble. It's also a benefit of ishtadlus. But after everything is said and done, divorce it. Build a mechitzas habarzel between the ishtadlus and the results. The results have nothing to do with it. The results are all Ach Barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should never take our eye off that focus. Never for a moment think that it's too terrible that it can't happen, or that it's too good and we don't have to worry anymore. We are always relying on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the truth of the matter is that all the brochas, the Birchas HaNenin, and the Birchas HaShachar, and the Birchas HaMozoin, and the brochas, and everything just reminds us that every breath of life and every occurrence of life is all a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's all. He controls it all. And I just want to conclude with one thing which I think is very, it could be helpful. We say every day at the end of Psukei Dezimra, at the end of the Hallelukos, Kol HaNeshomo Tehalel Ko Halleluko. We say every Neshomo should praise Hashem, and then we say this strange sounding praise, we're used to it, Halleluko. It's in one word. So the Chazal say, Kol HaNeshomo Al Kol Neshimo UNeshimo. We really should praise Hashem for every single breath of life. Every breath is a gift. Every breath. And when a person stops breathing, then we realize that every breath, if they would have had another breath, or another 10 breaths, or another 20 breaths, or another 5,000 breaths, they would have lived longer. So every breath is worthy of praise. What's this Halleluko? So the Alkut Shemini brings that the greatest praise of Hashem is the Halleluko. Why? He says, because the praise, Halleluko, praise Hashem, and the call, the name of Hashem, are in one word. They're all in one word, so that's the greatest praise. Why is that the greatest praise? So I think that the pshat is as follows. Oftentimes we praise Hashem. Thank you for this gift. But it's tainted with a little bit of Koichi v'yotzem yodi, I'm very capable, I'm very talented, I'm very smart, I'm this, I'm that. And it's tainted with teva. It's tainted with me. It's tainted with ego. It's tainted with wisdom. It's tainted with something, my own personal power. But when we say Halleluko, then there's no room to separate the praise from Hashem. That's a very, and we repeat it so many times in davening every morning, Halleluko. And it's such an important praise, because what it says is, don't allow anything in the world to get in between the recognition of the gift and the recognition of the giver. They're one and the same, it's in the same word. And I believe that's why Chazal say that Halleluko is the strongest, the greatest praise, because it doesn't allow for even the slightest thought or havamina or entertaining the remote possibility that there's any other koyach that's to be responsible for anything that we have to praise in this world is only from Hashem.